Welcome to Atomic Radio Hour, episode 128. I am your host, Vince, and I'm also here with...
your hyper-authoritarian host, Olive.
And Papa's here. Hey,
no,
Papa.
No.
Introduce yourself, sir.
Hello, it's me. Special guest, Kyle, or special guest host, or... my millions Papa. Of names.
Cookie thief, host Cookie with the most.
Next gen, cyborg.
Next gen, Kyle. Hey,
yeah.
Kyle, when do you get 5G put in your head so we can call you 5G Kyle?
Let me see.
Soon. I know.
So
be
what's
shot
up, guys?
At.
What's... Kyle's a walking coronavirus transmitter.
That is fake news, but I'm doing all right.
What's
I've had kind
done?
Of a crappy couple days. There's a crap ton of snow here in Western New York, so I'm not leaving my house ever again.
Yeah. It snowed like 2 feet by me. I don't know about by you, Kyle, but by me, it was like 2 feet.
Oh, man.
I think we got about like 7 to 8 inches where I'm at.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot. So, I feel like we're going to have to talk about this because we talked about it last week, but Cyberpunk kind of died.
It kind of died. However, I've been playing it since last recording, and I've been having a good time.
Same.
I feel bad saying that I've had a good time, but
why?
Like I've been playing on PC, so I've been getting the not bad experience.
Why do you feel bad for
having a good time? I'm on next-gen console, and it runs fine.
Yeah. If you're on a PS4, I mean, honestly, I'm so sorry. But on PC, I've kind of I've tinkered with my settings so that I'm getting like good frame rate and it looks really good. And I'm surprisingly getting more attached to half of these characters than I expected that I would.
Why do you feel bad about enjoying something?
I don't know, because like I don't feel bad about it because I've been enjoying it. But I feel bad that so many people are having a bad experience with it. That's kind of what I mean. Like, I'm having a really good experience, so I was hoping that other people could have a similar experience, because, Kyle, I don't know about you, you've been playing it a lot. Like, some of the characters are really interesting,
yeah,
and their quests are really cool. Like, I'm in love with Pan Am. Pan Am's amazing.
Pan Am?
Yeah, I love her.
I gotta say, my favorite so far is the AI limo driver guy.
Oh, Delamain?
Yeah.
That dude fucking rocks.
Yeah. But I get what you're getting at. Yeah, this was definitely not a current gen game, and should have probably never been.
Yeah,
they should have released it on PS4.
They should have waited a year. From everything I've seen, they should have waited another year.
So the thing that I think is just the most wild thing is that the police don't have a chase AI. Like the police are literally half baked; they're half implemented. So if you do anything wrong, you can just get in a car and just drive, and it'll never be a problem.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Because police don't get in their own police cars and chase after you. And I think that's just fucking wild.
Dude, that's like GTA 5.
GTA 5, they at least chase you in
their
cars.
No, but GTA 5, you don't see cops driving around. It's
really
the most unrealistic part of GTA 5, and that's what bothers me the most. Go play GTA 5. Go to Gatton. Go drive around CJ's block. You will never see cops just driving around. Shoot somebody, there's 4 cops right there. They spawn a block away.
You might be right about that. I don't remember ever seeing a cop.
This game has been out since 2013. It was the first thing I noticed. You will never see a cop car just driving around.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, you're right.
So I bitch about GTA 5, and everyone goes, oh, baby shit is diaper. Oh, little baby shit is diaper from the Grand Theft Auto. No, the game fucking sucks. GTA 5 fucking sucks, and I hate boats, and I'm going to fucking play it with Kyle soon, but still. Like...
Are you guys going to stream or record it?
Unless we start getting loud. No, dude, there is a vivid memory I have of playing San Andreas and standing on a car. You can't even stand on cars anymore and just drive around and shoot people. But I remember standing on a car and having a sniper and scoping in on the driver of a cop car that was just driving around. And I played San Andreas when I visited you 2-3 weeks ago. And I remember seeing cop cars driving around. And I shot the driver, and the car kept driving, and I couldn't believe it. Like, you could see the dude's head fly off and the blood spurt out, and then the car just kept going. And, like, that's one of the most, like, vivid, glitchy memories I have of San Andreas. And I was playing 5 when it first came out, and I was like, where's the cop cars? The only time you'll find a cop car in the wild is if you go to the police station.
Yeah. Like, the thing that I was thinking that GTA 5 had that implemented, but I was actually thinking about Saints Row 3 and 4. Like, there's just cops driving around, and if you rear-end them, they get pissed and start shooting at your ass.
Yeah, yeah. Go play GTA 5 for 10 minutes. Get done with the main, like,
intro
mission.
It's going to take a year to download because it's, like, 70 gigabytes on PC. But
yeah. Yeah.
But regardless of GTA 5, not really the topic of choice.
No, I bought the game 4 times.
I'm a little Cyberpunk, upset about it. I like it. I like the, like, augmentations. I like the, like, progression.
I like the dystopian world. Like, I like what this world, like, is.
Yeah, like
violence and sex
sucks.
And, like...
Yeah, everything sucks.
Yeah.
And it's great.
But everything sucks now.
Yeah, but everything sucks and it's not great now. Everything sucks and it is great in Cyberpunk.
But how is it great? Like, explain what makes it great.
You can just literally do whatever. Like, it's pure anarchy, but also controlled by... Or the day-to-day actions of people is just pure anarchy, but the actual civilization is straight up just controlled by the elite and the rich.
It's like... And I think it's like take Borderlands... But, like, less it down from, like, crazy psycho people in underwear and, like, more civilization.
So there's not a lot of underwear.
No, not necessarily. I wouldn't say that there's not underwear. Unless they're off.
It's just not on somebody.
They're just not on someone. No, I just... Yeah, and a lot of the side quests are really interesting, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was one where this guy, this bartender that you meet pretty early on, depending on your path, he was like, hey, I think my wife's fucking around on me and cheating. So there's a mission where you have to go, like, follow her. And you end up going, you follow her, and she ends up in, like, a cybernetic clinic to get, like, augmentations on herself. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I'm not fucking around. I'm just, like, getting beauty augments to, like, cover up my identity. And I was like, holy shit, this is actually kind of cool.
Why did you want to... Well, I mean, that probably spoils it.
It wasn't, like, a main scenario quest. It was, like, a side quest.
Well, it just got taken off of the PS4 store, right?
Yeah.
That is... Wow.
That's...
Yeah.
I can't think of anything else that was ever removed and got refunded for everybody. Because Sony has...
I was
going to
say,
really
PT,
wild,
that was free.
Really strict refund laws.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which is strange, because you would think that they would use it as a selling point for the PS5. So you think they'd be like, if you bought it on the PS4, you get the... Because I think it's just a free upgrade.
Yeah.
From 4 to 5.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. So you would think we'd just be like, don't worry. In a year, when we make more than 6 of them at a time, and scalpers aren't going wild, you'll be able to just get the free upgrade. Yeah, the only thing I could think of being taken down, really, from the PS store was PT, but that was a demo.
Yeah, that was like a different scenario.
I remember Scott Pilgrim got taken, but that was due to copyright and stuff like that.
That was licensing issues, yeah.
But like, No Man's Sky never had that. Fallout 76 never had that, but like, for some reason, Cyberpunk got that. Like, I think something else is going on.
I think it's...
Yeah.
I think it's... What do you call it? I just think it's the fan... People... I've noticed this... That the fan base of CD Projekt Red is very, very entitled.
They're kind of vicious.
Yeah. They were like, this game needs to be... This game needs to come out now. I need this game now. This is the future of gaming. And then, like, the game came out and they're like, what the fuck? Like...
Yeah, like, everyone's like, this game needs to be coming out right now. And then, as soon as it came out, everyone's like, should have waited another 6 months, bro.
Like, just, like, I love the idea that because somebody makes something that I use as some form of entertainment, that my opinion on it, regardless of what they think is, not that it doesn't matter, because all feedback is good feedback, but there's 3 types of feedback. There's, I don't like this, there's, I don't like this in malicious, and then there's positive feedback, or there's
or like valid criticism.
Yes.
Yeah.
And just like, To see that people are freaking out about this, and it's not Geralt in the future, and they're upset about it.
Like, I think, like, the thing about, like, the cops, like, that's a valid criticism. Like, yeah. That should have been something that should have been implemented. Especially how it's, like, you live in this corporate police state.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's something that should have been there. But, like, if there's, like, say, lighting bugs on, like, the PC copy or something, like, all right, then, like, who cares? Like, that's just, that's a bug. That wasn't, like, an oversight of implementation.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, I feel like, despite me having a good time, I'd like to see where it is in 6 months after they kind of get their collective heads out of their asses. That being said, I feel bad because CD Projekt Red is going to crunch the fuck out of their developers, and it's going to be just not very good.
They were doing something before the game came out where they weren't necessarily crunchitizing me, Captain, but they were doing, like... You like that one, Kyle? They were doing... They had to work 6 days a week, and they were getting paid overtime. Like, it was mandatory overtime.
That's like, unfortunately, that's kind of a standard when games get into the final phase.
Yeah, but they're getting paid. Like, it's not like they were, overtime. Like, being whipped, and they're like, get back to work, boy! Like, it was... They were getting paid, it was overtime, and then everybody was gonna get a bonus of at least fucking five figures. Like, with The Last of Us. The Last of Us 2. I hope
that people were fairly compensated for their work. But yeah. But I feel like any overtime shouldn't be mandatory. Like, if your contract says you gotta work, say, 40 hours a week, at 40 hours, you should have a say in whether you're doing overtime or not. Like, after that.
Yeah, I guess.
Like, that's just, like, labor laws. Like, that's...
Yeah, but they're also in Poland.
That's...
It's totally different in Poland.
Yeah.
They could be in Poland, like, that's the thing.
We do have a very American perspective of, like, how the regulations work.
Yeah.
But also, if like, it's getting to the point where if crunch doesn't exist, these games take 10 years to come out. And then they come out underdeveloped because the next generation's here. I'm not saying crunch is a good thing. I'm just saying games are getting too big. Red Dead 2 is too big of a game. I have my gripes with Red Dead 2. To begin with, but just in general, it is too big of a game. Think about your favorite games and think about the size of the map. Think about how big San Andreas felt versus how San Andreas feels now. There's four cities in San Andreas.
Yeah.
And in GTA 5, there's two. You know what I mean?
And like the Sandy area.
No, that's what I'm saying. There's Los Santos and there's Blaine County. And that's it. And it's so big that there's a fucking lake. Like, that's just... Yeah. Like, people say, like, oh my god, it's so big that there's a lake in three mountains. Yeah, there's a lake in three mountains, but there's nothing I can do with that lake in three mountains.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's... Okay, here's the mountain, there's the lake. Great. But I can't do anything with that. It just exists. Mm-hmm. I could take a boat in it.
Yeah.
Fine.
Just because there's... A game is big doesn't mean that it's... bigly full of content, you know?
Yeah. Like, look at all these games... Dude, The PS4's biggest games came out at the end of its life cycle. Ghost of Tsushima, which I haven't played, but Kyle
I haven't loves, played either.
Right? Whew.
Yeah.
I wish you guys could see Kyle's face.
I mean, Kyle loves it. So.
And it for some people was a seller. Like, it was a big deal. And for me, the game that justified my PlayStation 4 purchase was The Last of Us 2, which had a myriad of problems during development, storytelling, and the fan base itself collapsed upon it. It collapsed upon itself once they found out they didn't like where the story went because it got leaked. So for me, personally, if I didn't have a PlayStation 4, I would have bought a PlayStation 4 for The Last of Us 2, but that is such a massive game for PlayStation, and it didn't come out until the end of the PS4. Quite literally, it was on its deathbed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So games are just getting too big.
Yeah, like, the only, kind of unrelated, the only reason I bought my PlayStation was for Kingdom Hearts. That's basically the only reason I buy PlayStations is to play Kingdom Hearts on them. But in terms of, like, games being the perfect size, like, I look at my favorite game, Okami. I've talked about it at length. Each of those little areas that are in the game are relatively small. Like, each of the areas, like, there's only one big area, and that's Shinshu Field.
Yeah.
It's, like, the second area. And even that, it's not that big. And everywhere you look, there's, like, something to do. Like, there's nothing that's there that wasn't put there intentionally mm-hmm. and, like, doesn't have a point. Especially if you go back and get all the collectibles, you kind of understand the area a little bit better. And be like, oh, this wasn't just a random thing that was here. This actually had meaning. And there yeah. was something to do here. So, like, games that are kind of, like, I want to say, like, small and homey, I have a lot better, like, time with. Because games that are, like, super big and open worldy, I kind of, like, get lost. Like, I feel like I should follow the main quest line. Mm-hmm. Just because, like, that's what the developers, like, mainly worked on.
Well,
but
yes,
I find most of my personal joy in doing these small little intimate moments.
Yeah. Yeah, they wouldn't put side quests in there if they didn't mean something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So this is, we'll get to the lore. Hold on. But this is kind of like a point that I want to make because we're talking about this. I'm currently replaying Horizons.
Oh, yeah.
Because my girl Aloy is coming back.
Yeah.
Ooh, my girl Aloy is coming back. And I've noticed a few things while playing it. One, it's dystopian, which is fucking, I'm all about it.
Yeah.
It's too happy dystopian. But whatever, that's kind of like a small thing. The world is just so big. And because they don't have to worry about, like, building a city, they can kind of build a city and destroy it and then let somebody, like, let the grass kind of tell the story and the trees tell the story and the animals that have now inhabited tell the story of what everything kind of looks like in this world. Like, I'm kind of seeing it as a plus, but at the same time, it's like, I got an hour and a half to play. Mm. Like, what can I do in an hour and a half? I don't want to do the main story. I want to level. Like, it's just, it's a lot. But then you have because a game.
You don't want to just, like, have a walking simulator. It's like, oh, wow, these quests are great, but it takes a half hour for me to get to that side of the map.
Yeah, exactly. That was my problem with Red Dead. I couldn't turn it on for 20 minutes and just play.
Yeah, the there's also screen took 18. Travel in that game, which I can agree with you with on that. Like, going so far in that horse was,
yeah, and you could only fast travel if you were at your camp.
Yeah.
So I had to go all the way to my camp just to go all the way over. Like, it just, like, put fast, and maybe they added it, and maybe it was there from the beginning and I just didn't see it. But they should have added fast travel with, you set up a little fire. Because I'm pretty sure that's how they did fast travel in the first one. But I was just Horizons, GTA 5, and then Spider-Man 2016. Just, or 2017 or 18, whenever it came out. Hear me out. Horizons is a big, sprawling, open world of landscapes and forests and all this shit, right? No, I can't speak
on... Beautiful game, too.
It's beautiful. It's great. I love Aloy. She's a great character. I'm finding that I really like when I get to play as a female in a game, especially a bow woman.
I mean, I figured that out way earlier than you, bud.
Yeah, but it's I think it's just because it's a different perspective.
Right, like, right.
I could play with gun.
Yeah.
All day long, but this is something different.
This is female woman.
Female woman, yeah. Because, like, that's what I loved about The Last of Us is I got to play as Ellie.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, shooting people with explosive arrows, fucker, and then just walking away, yeah.
And I like playing as Abby.
Yeah, I mean, that's cool. I appreciate it more the second go around, playing as her.
Yeah.
Horizons, big open world, destroyed city, forest overtaking. It's did you know it takes place in Colorado? It takes place in Colorado, and then you get to go to Utah, and I think parts of New Mexico, and the new one takes place in San Francisco, but I'm getting away from the point. The point is, you have this open world, and then you have a game like Grand Theft Auto 5, where you're in a city that looks so much like LA that it's almost scary. Like, yeah. I remember playing GTA 4, and I've been to Manhattan a billion times, but driving around Manhattan in GTA 4, and then going to Manhattan again and being like, wow, holy shit, they did a fine job here. And then, but the thing with GTA 5 is all those buildings exist, but they're just geometry. They're just geometry. They're just shapes. They just exist there to fill up space. But then when you play a game like Spider-Man, you can't go into those buildings. You can go into like six buildings in GTA 5. You can go into the clothing shop. You can go into the food place. You can go into maybe a couple of houses.
Like a liquor store, a gun store.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those places exist for you to be able to enter. But then you play a game like Spider-Man 20. When did it come out? 2018?
Yes.
I can pull it up real quick.
I think 2018.
The Insomniac Spider-Man. You can't go into those buildings, but they rendered enough of the building that when you're climbing or swinging past, you can look in.
Yeah, and you can 2018.
See 2018, you can see somebody's apartment. So, and because of you having to swing and use your surroundings to help you swing around, it kind of gives you a feeling of like, oh, this means something. Like, this building has some sort of an interaction outside of just being here as a set piece.
Right.
And because of how fast Peter Parker can swing through New York, it feels like a more condensed map. It doesn't feel like a small map, but it feels more condensed in the sense that you can kind of thwip, 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 and you're, and I'm in the Diamond District, and then I'm in Harlem, and then I'm over here, and then I'm there. Like, it doesn't, you know what I mean?
One other thing, like, kind of regarding that, is that you're Spider-Man. You can move really freaking fast.
Yeah. So that's, that's
even
like
with no loading screens, too.
Yeah. Yeah. But you see what I'm saying? Like, open world big games aren't – an open world game doesn't mean – like, that's what I thought was, like, my thing was an open world game. Like, I want to play an open world game. I want to go out and, like, explore and do this. And I do. But it's just so big.
So you got better things to do.
Not that I have better things to do. I just have other shit I have to accomplish before I can sit down and play videos, James. And if I can't play games for more than an hour or two, then there's like, what's the fucking point of even playing?
Yeah.
Like, I'm enjoying Horizons, but at the same time, I'm like, I can either do two side quests and level up, which will make the story mission easier, or I can just do the story mission and struggle and maybe do it four times, but then when I'm done, I gotta get off.
Right, yeah.
That being said,
I think we all can agree that Cyberpunk is just Starfield by Bethesda.
Why do you say that?
Because it's filled with bugs, and it's in the future.
It's not a space game, though.
Wow.
Which is another whole topic. I love space.
Oh,
I love space. Sorry, that's a tangent for another video.
let's get into this. Lore time. Let's go. So we're doing the antagonists of the Fallout series. And when I got to 4, I really thought about who is the antagonist. And
yeah, like who's the bad guy?
And I could have done Father, and I could have done Desdemona, and I could have taken the really, really low-hanging fruit and picked Emil, or Emil, and been like, haha, you wrote the same game twice. Ba-bow. But I feel like I make enough jokes about this game to begin with. So I thought to myself, why not do Arthur Maxon? And here's my idea why. The dude just kind of fucking shows up and he's like, this is wrong and I'm taking care of it. And it's like, really?
He kind of sucks shit.
Yeah.
He's just kind of like, I have a cool coat and I hate my parents. And he just kind of fucking flies in and then he's like, everybody stop. And it's like, dude, we got away from this. Like Elder
it's
Lions.
Like, I am here to rescue you all from nothing.
Yeah.
So, the guy sucks so much.
Yeah.
He also, his model just looks like he's a douche.
His what?
His model.
His model, yeah. Yeah, you can tell this dude, like, slips Mickey's and girls' drinks at the bar. Like, you can Jesus. Just tell, like, he's got that fucking asshole haircut.
Yeah.
And he's like, he's like, do you know who my grandparents were? Like, he's just one of those guys.
That's not to say that anyone that has a similar haircut is an asshole, but Arthur Maxon definitely is an asshole.
Nah, dude, I'm willing to bet if you have a haircut like that, you're an asshole.
Don't
I'm not saying it's a definitive
people,
fact, but
we
I'm
need
saying.
Two more subscribers to get to 300.
You're right.
Don't alienate people with asshole haircuts.
All right, if you have an asshole haircut, I'm sorry. Consider shaving it off.
Or growing it out.
Yeah. Do both at the same time. All right, Artie Maxon. Elder Arthur Maxon, Brotherhood Registration, MX-001E is the last descendant of the Maxon lineage. He serves as a squire in the Citadel in 2277 and is currently the supreme commander of the East Coast chapter of the Brotherhood in 2287. Born in 2267 to Jonathan and Jessica Maxson, Arthur is the descendant of the legendary Roger Maxson, founder of the Brotherhood of Steel. His father, a high-ranking paladin serving just outside the New California Republic, was recently killed in battle, and his mother, Lady Maxson, sent the boy east to be raised under the tutelage, that's a fun word, of the respected Elder Owen Lyons. Squire Maxson tends. Young Maxson turns out to be quite a timid child, which is the main reason his mother sends him to the Citadel. Part of the reason was... Okay, I get all my lore off fallout.fandom.com. Mm-hmm. Whoever wrote this didn't do a great job. I'm just gonna say it. I'm sorry. Okay. I apologize. Not my fault, though. I didn't write this. All right, so his mom sent him east because the West Brotherhood was fucking up, and he was a big, big fucking baby.
Yeah.
So he obviously has some fucking resentment towards his parents and some insecurity because he's a little bitch boy. Ever since arriving at the Citadel, Arthur was an attentive student with a good knowledge of the Brotherhood's triumphs and history. He has also proven himself to be a keen observer, making accurate observations of the local super mutant threat, and even observing a behemoth from the Citadel walls once. Overall, he received a top-notch education thanks to the excellent teachers and trainers at the Citadel. And of course, he learned the Codex by heart. Though the protocols have given him a particular trouble, especially when it came to the encounters with the outside. The Codex deemed them unworthy, yet Elder Owen Lyons was content to violate them as he saw fit, such as when accepting the Lone Wanderer into the Citadel without taking the oath of fraternity. The boy, whose only real encounter with the outside were the Brotherhood members visiting the Citadel. He was surprised by the decision, but deferred to Elder Lyons' judgment. Despite his reservations, he was also trained in combat by Sentinel Sarah Lyons, who on one occasion showed him how to kill people by stabbing them in the kidneys.
Good way to take them down. It's painful.
Hey, kid, how old are you? 9, 10, 11?
That's how you do murder.
Yeah. The expectations of the boy. The single largest problem the young Maxson faced were expectations. As the last of the Maxson line, he was expected to become the Brotherhood's messiah with a quote, soul was forged from eternal steel. Like any other child burdened with such responsibility, he vehemently denied these claims. Easy to do, since the elders in the West lost faith in Lyons' ability to lead. Vehemently is a word we need to use more. Loneliness also weighed heavy on the young Maxson. As the only child of the Citadel, I don't think that's correct.
No, yeah. He's the only kid model in
Really? Citadel. There's not other scribes?
They're scribes, but they're not kids.
Really?
Yeah, he's an unkillable child. Remember how Fallout 3 did that?
Yeah, well, all of them did that.
Yeah.
But no, I thought I remember seeing other kids there.
Nah.
Neat. All right. He grew up surrounded by adults with no one of equal age to spend time with. Given that he worked with a soldier, he didn't receive kindness or warmth, merely scolding and training. His closest friends were Liberty Prime and inanimate robot. Scribe Rothschild banned him from the laboratory, emphasizing the futility of trying to make friends with a machine. He had to sneak into the lion's den to read Paladin Vargas's copy of Guns and Bullets without his knowledge. They wouldn't have given it to him otherwise. As a result, the 10-year-old Arthur had a timid and reserved demeanor. It wasn't helped by the fact that the young boy was barred from the patrols due to accidentally shooting Sentinel Lyons during one outing. Arthur Wow, Arthur's reservations and apprehensions helped him maintain a level of politeness and decency that would later translate into an unmatched charisma. What a fucking little bitch boy.
You know, that kind of, like, makes sense now why Liberty Prime is in 4.
Yes.
This robot's my best friend.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, like, also, they didn't, like, explain that?
Yeah.
How do we know? Like, I want to know where that's cited from.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no citing of that. Like, I'm looking at the wiki now, and it says, like, it says about how, this is like.
I found the terminal entry.
Did you really?
Yes.
How the fuck did you find it so quick?
Diary entry 1 from Arthur Maxon in Fallout 3. Stupid scribe Rothschild in his stupid lab. All I wanted to do was talk to the robot and see if he'd be my friend. So what if he can't walk? And that's it.
Huh.
And then there was another one. Yesterday, Sarah taught me how to kill a man by stabbing him in the kidneys. I think I'm in love.
Wow. Wow!
Yeah.
Because she dies shortly after the events of Fallout 1. I'm sorry, not Fallout 1, Fallout 3.
Fallout 3, yeah.
Huh. I was going to say, how do we know... See, there's another thing that could have been explored. The only woman I'll ever love is dead, and I met her when I was 10. Like, that's a story that I would have fucking loved. Dude, crying over a girl for fucking 10 years? Come on.
Oh, wait, what's this?
No, it kind of reminds me of, like, an Iron Giant Easter egg there.
Yeah.
So there's, like, a little boy and this giant robot.
Probably. So they probably put in a little Iron Giant Easter egg, and then they made a whole game about it. Ba-bam. I'm just so upset that he shows up again.
In 4.
I'm just so upset about that.
I know. I know you're upset.
Like,
someone who... reading about being upset.
So later in life, from 2277 to the present, a key change in Artie Maxon's life...
Artie boy.
...came with adolescence and the death of Elder Owen Lyons and Sarah Lyons. While the crumbling Lyons Brotherhood of Steel chafed under the ineffectual leadership of one elder after another, Maxon rapidly developed his talents. In 2279, at the age of 11 plus 1, he managed to kill 2 raiders on a training patrol, saving the squad that was supposed to escort him. A year later, he managed to single-handedly kill a Deathclaw, taking grave wounds in the process and suffering a disfiguring scar that marred his face forever. His key achievement came in 2282 at the age of 15 when he killed a super mutant leader named Shepard, who was trying to reorganize the remnants of the Capital Wasteland super mutant infestation. This achievement revealed another secret, that the West Coast elders were still monitoring the Eastern Brethren. With Maxon's achievement came leadership and promotion to a provisional elder. I want to see what it says about Shepard. It says literally...
Actually, just check that out.
It says literally nothing about him.
Yeah, he was mentioned briefly in Fallout 4.
I'm so surprised he has a fucking entry. Though young, Maxon was ready to lead and reunite the fragmented Brotherhood of Steel. Focus on the East Coast and focus on... Though young, Maxon was ready to lead and reunite the fragmented Brotherhood of Steel forces on the East Coast. He proved his ability in 2283, where he brokered a peace with the Brotherhood outcast, reigniting them into the Brotherhood of Steel.
Reintegrating.
What I say?
Reignite.
Reintegrating them into the Brotherhood of Steel. The 16-year-old Maxon was proving himself as an effective and dominant...
Well, hold up. This kid was 16. He wasn't even, like... He couldn't even grow a full beard, and he was, like, being hailed as a powerful leader of the Brotherhood.
Yeah, it depends on your genes. Kyle, when'd you start shaving?
I don't remember.
I think I was shaving in the 6th grade.
No, that's not the point.
No, I know, but fucking look at Max. He's got a douchey haircut. Maybe he was shaving early.
That's also not the point. Why was he theoretically so good at being an elder when he was literally a child?
Because he's a sociopath. Mm-hmm. And sociopaths are good at one thing, and that's, well, if sociopaths are
advancing
good...
Advancing plot in game lore.
What's that?
That's the only thing they're good at
is advancing. No, sociopaths are good at using people as tools. They don't see people as people to
they see them as assets.
They see them as assets. And as soon as you're no longer seen as an asset, you get dropped. That's why Maxon succeeded. That's why most presidents become president. Is because they're charismatic and good at gaming the system.
Mm-hmm.
The 16-year-old Maxon was proving himself as effective a diplomat as a warrior. The full force of the Brotherhood of Steel appointed Arthur Maxon as the Elder, the youngest in Brotherhood of Steel history. The supreme commander of the entire Brotherhood of Steel, with the ability to strike anywhere on the East Coast because of the Pridwin, launched just a year before his rise to power. As of 2287, Elder Maxon's reign in the Capital Wasteland was uncontested, and his authority and influence were spreading across the East Coast. The Pridwin was a key element of the Brotherhood's power projection. In addition, Maxon had the full support of the Elders on the West Coast, who proudly reported that cults existed worshipping Maxon as a god. Although these groups had been eradicated, however, Maxon was offended by the idea of being referred to as a deity, as it goes against his beliefs. Maxon is... What the fuck? That would have been so interesting to explore. Maxon is satisfied with being, according to the Brotherhood, the perfect human specimen, as example of everything human beings can achieve. Assisted by enhancing, god damn it, even enhanced by advanced technological technology. What an asshole.
I know.
I feel bad that I like helped this motherfucker, but also I don't feel like any of this was explained to me in the game that he thought of himself as. But think about how cool fucking a cult of people who worship him would be.
Yeah.
That would have been a way more interesting storyline.
That would have been so cool. That would have been fucking make him like
cults of personalities are like the most interesting and terrifying kind.
Make him like David Koresh. Make him like Jim Jones. Make him where he walked into Boston as a terrifying military presence, but he said, "Don't worry, my children, come to me, for I am Elder Maxon." Like, have it where he's like, what's the cult from Oregon? Rajneeshpuram. Do you ever see anything about Rajneeshpuram?
Only what you've mentioned.
This dude made a commune, and it was like, it looked great until like they owned this town in Oregon, and like they made their own laws. They were their own military, their police force. Like, they were busing in homeless people to vote for them. It was fucking nuts. It was nuts. And, have some shit like that. Have some shit like Rajneeshpuram. Have some shit like the Branch Davidians. That shit would be super fucking tight. Instead of just, "I don't like them because their face is different than mine and it's all wrinkly and there might be an aluminum skeleton." Fuck you.
Instead of having an interesting cultural discussion, we're just going to do racism again.
Just genocide. Just hit Hitler
racism
light.
And genocide.
Just, yep. Yeah. Just little Hitler.
Little Hitler.
You remember that show from Robot Chicken? Little Hitler, what a scamp. His ideals. Arthur Maxon, for all his maturity, is still young and idealistic, yet a capable leader of the Brotherhood on the East Coast. I don't know what that voice was.
Why are you doing this voice? Why are
you I'm sorry. I'm just trying to get through this. This is so fucking... I just keep seeing how they could have made this better and better and better, and it just isn't.
You're just spiraling.
And I'm just like, here's this thing that I love so much. Do they love it anymore? Like, why won't you look at it?
About
during a meal.
B2.
What's that?
I said, complain about Fallout 4, Market Cards, B2.
Yeah, sorry, everybody. Sorry. God damn it. All right. He can establish an amalgam between the ways of his predecessor and tutor, Elder Owen Lyons, who is using technology to help others, and the traditional brotherhood approach of converting and preserving. Coveting and preserving advanced technology to protect people from abusing it. As a result, he is much more lenient about technology being in the hands of outsiders and allocates teams of soldiers to combat dangers that would otherwise harm or kill the people of the wasteland. While he has other teams scouring the ruins for technology that could be missed in the wrong hands, Maxson also strongly insists that the Brotherhood has the best intentions for the Commonwealth in mind. He deeply cares for everyone under his command. As... Really? Really, dog? Your fucking top paladin turns out to be a fucking synth and you're ready to fucking kill him and you care about everybody? Alright. He deeply cares for everyone under his command, as he was say it, please.
Exceptionally.
Thank you. He deeply cares for everyone under his command, as he was exceptionally reluctant to allow Ingram into the field as a field scribe, despite Knight Captain Cade's professional opinion due to her power armor frame, which replaces her legs and much of her lower torso. She was more suited for combat when than scribe work. In fact, probably better suited than any knight they could muster. Additionally, he explicitly ordered that all technology was to be traded for food and medicine, and violent confrontation would be a last resort, which drastically set him apart from the West Coast Brotherhood. The West Coast used violence as a first resort. This shows that not only does he not wish to risk the lives of those under his command, but he genuinely seems to care about the people of the Commonwealth. Again, set up food drives. Like toys for guns or guns for toys, whatever the fucking thing is.
Guns for tots.
Baby shooting AKs. Ba-bow. Set up something like that. That would have been, that would have showed that maybe the Brotherhood gave a fuck about the Commonwealth.
Despite what we just read, I never really thought that the Brotherhood gave a shit about the Commonwealth.
No.
It was all just a cash grab for them.
The way
they wanted free technology.
Yes, the way the Brotherhood was portrayed in 4 was the U.S. when they find out an underdeveloped country has oil. Yeah. It's just, skirt, what's up? You guys got oil? Okay, this is democracy, bitch. Military state. Like, just... set up drives. Like, put the fucking game in the oven for 2 more years. Fuck. I hope we get to a day where we can see that the company that owns Fallout gives a fuck about Fallout as much as the fans do. He also approved a request by Senior Scribe Nariah, to develop a more effective alternative to the pre-war Rataway, showing that he also carries on Lyons' efforts of improving technology as opposed to simply hoarding it, which remains the West Coast goals. These seem to be the goals still carried by the West Coast Brotherhood, as seen between conversations with Nolan McNamara and Veronica Sen... How do you say your name? Santigello. In New Vegas. Wow. I don't know about you guys, but I'm upset.
Well, are you okay? Do you need a sec?
I need to
go outside and smoke a cigarette.
I don't even smoke, and part of me is like, I need a goddamn cigarette. There's so many things in this that would have made a deeper and more compelling story. There's so many things in this. Talk about how Lyons was Sarah Lyons was the only woman that he ever loved. Talk about how the Maxson line dies with his name because the only woman he ever loved died in combat and he never got over it. Even if it's a terminal entry, even if you just hear other scribes and paladins be like, yeah, well, he never really got over the death of lions. And then it's like, oh, what the fuck happened there? Let me go to the wiki and check it out. Like, let me.
And then you have to read an entry that's kind of poorly written.
Yep.
But like, do you know, see what I'm saying? If you genuinely care about that, how come I never saw the Brotherhood patrolling, running into Wastelanders and being like, Wastelander, do you have any technology on you? Oh, we don't want any trouble. They got their hands up. If you have anything on you, we are willing to trade for food and stim packs. Oh, what? What's up? Oh, I found this doohickey in a garage. Let me see it. All right, cool. Here's some stim packs and some food. Learn how to read. And then, like, they keep going. Like,
learn how to read.
Like, think about how fucking more compelling the Brotherhood would have been. I went with the Brotherhood.
It would have been so much
better. I went with the Brotherhood when I first played it because I just wanted to see what the Brotherhood would have done. But fucking Liberty Prime.
The Wobot was my friend.
I don't have any friends. All of my friends are either dead, or I fell in love with them and then they died, or they're all back on the West Coast.
Or they're robots.
Hello, and big
I'm going
robot
to kill
man.
Every robot person.
Yeah, yeah. I loved robots so much that this giant communist was my best friend. This giant Republican was my best friend. I love you, giant Ronald Reagan. And then, what do you mean? There's little Ronald Reagans in everybody? They need to die. There's only one Robo Reagan. One Robo Reagan to rule them all. Maybe this episode Robo Reagan.
Oh, cool. Oh, amazing.
God damn. Fuck this. Arthur Maxon may grab a bottle of whiskey or a beer from around the Citadel and drink it, similar to other characters. Because he's Den. And he wants to be like everybody else.
A depressed alcoholic.
Yeah. One of his lines of dialogues in what links the Enclave power armor of Fallout 3's previous Fallout games, Advanced Power Armor Mark II, suggests that it was what the Enclave personnel are equipped with. Maxon is one of only two characters in Fallout 3, god damn it, I'm fucked up. Maxon is one of only two characters in Fallout 3 who will recite excerpts from the Codex. The other one is Star Paladin Cross, the least used companion in Fallout 3.
What? But Cross is kind of cool regardless.
Yeah, I'm not saying she's not. I just don't know anybody personally who's ever used her.
Well, because she's lame.
You just said she was cool.
Yeah, but she's cool. She's like not cool enough to take with you.
Oh, yeah. Ugh, it's impossible to pickpocket Maxon even with a level 4 pickpocketing perk.
Do you want to be finished with this entry?
Yep.
Because
fuck Artie. Fuck him.
Yeah, fuck him. This guy.
That's Guys. Why he's a villain.
Yeah, that's why he's the villain, because he's poorly written. No other reason. Just because he's poorly written. If there's any crime that you should never commit is being poorly written.
He must throw out the wiki page, then.
All right, guys, I had some other shit that I wanted to do. This is going to be a little bit of a longer episode. I don't mind if you don't mind. I don't know why you would, because I have to edit. But it's the end of the year. I don't know if there's going to be – I'll let you know right now that the next episode is most likely going to be a burner because we don't want to work the week of Christmas.
I mean, nobody does.
Nobody does. I have a lot of shit going on that I have to take care of.
I'm going to be traveling to see my family.
When are you coming home?
Mm-mm.
Okay, good.
22, I think.
I have shit that I'm taking care of. My room is a mess. Christmas is upon us. I still have to go have to do a little shopping.
And the prom's tomorrow.
And the next one is going to be a burner. There will be I don't think there'll be a burner for New Year's, but there will be one for the week of Christmas. That being said, fellas, lady fella, what are your games of the year? Everything's out.
Everything's out, yeah.
Now, before we get into this, because I'm going to clip this into its own thing, we haven't played everything, obviously. I don't know. Well, Kyle plays everything.
Yeah.
Kyle's working on ports of Atari games to the Vectrex. That's how fucking much Kyle plays.
My Commodore 64 gave me powers, psychic powers.
Kyle's smart, Lord Kyle.
Kyle has three power gloves, one for his right hand, one for his left hand, and one for wherever he wants to put it.
So, guys, what's your game of the year? Now, this doesn't have to be game that came out this year. Just the game that you love the most this year.
It's tough. It's really tough because I'm caught between Final Fantasy XIV Online and Hades. And honestly, another contender, if I have to pick like a top three, is No Man's Sky.
Really?
Yeah, those are my top three in no particular order.
I'm going to give Papa a second to think.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah, there's a lot.
Kyle, would you say you play like four new games a month? Like on average?
Well, new games and like old games. Like I started playing Ratchet & Clank again.
Oh, really? For the PS2? Yeah.
Three.
Oh, nice.
I have all the Ratchet & Clank games.
Which one on three?
Well, the collection's on there and then...
Cool.
They have Deadlock is backwards, or you can buy it, and so I bought Deadlock, and never knew that for years.
Oh, cool.
Oh, cool.
I had one that was really good. I think it was a Crack in Time. That one's
really
good.
I think I
actually
played that one, too.
That one's really fucking good. I'm going to say my top games of the year are The Last of Us 2 and Minecraft.
You don't have a third one to stick in there?
I don't think so. Like, Skater XL was awesome. It was great that we got another skate game, especially a sim skate game. Tony Hawk was great. I bought Smash this year, but I didn't really play it a lot.
We usually would play it, like, at my house.
Yeah. I bought Animal Crossing, and it's just not for me. Yeah. I bought Destroy All Humans this year. I mean, we're recording this before Christmas. So I might get a game before Christmas and just be like, oh my god, this is fucking great.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I don't ask for, like, I don't ever tell anybody what I want. Someone's like, oh, what do you want for Christmas? I'm like, I don't want anything. I just
have a wish list of books that I usually give to people.
Yeah. I should have.
I'm a sad adult.
I should have bought books. I have a couple books that I'm looking at right now that I should have read and I didn't.
But Kyle, yeah, I mean, Kyle finally taught you how to read, so you might as well get your money's worth.
It was begrudging, and you would hurt me when I said words wrong. But Kyle, what say you?
If I have to pick top three, I would have to say Assassin's Creed Valhalla.
Really? It just came out.
That game.
Apparently it rocks.
It's just refreshing to be back in the normal... I wouldn't say in the normal franchise, but like it's an Assassin's Creed game. It feels like 1 and 2 mixed in a setting of Vikings.
Like, is this the oldest it goes back?
No. Odyssey is, Greek gods and all that, but that wasn't really...
You're right.
Loosely connected to that, but like it just the music hits, the music's, and like I haven't been bored, like all side stuff and like finding everything has been like a bunch of fun. I would say Ghost of Tsushima, just because that game was just so amazing, so beautiful. And I'll probably have to say probably Kingdom Hearts 3.
That came out this year?
It's been a long, grueling, terrible year, Vince.
That came out in 2020?
Yes.
I don't think so.
No, 2019?
The DLC, but it's been so long for me to actually finish that game. But the music game came out, which is amazing, so.
Kyle. Oh, is that
Yeah. Just because I can listen to Kingdom Hearts music. All
this
the time.
Year
when you
is...
walk away, you can hear me say, please, oh baby.
Fucking 2004. Yeah, I was never into it.
But yeah, I think that's mine.
This year has been so fucking long.
Yeah.
You
I feel
and
like
I.
This year aged me 4 years.
Kyle, you and I saw Sonic the Hedgehog, the movie. in the theater in February.
Yeah.
That feels like it was 2 years ago.
Yeah. That was the last movie we saw in a live theater.
Yeah, that was the last
movie I saw in theaters was Cats.
That's fucking... Oof. I don't know what's horrible. A better story.
Yeah.
You know, the merge is coming.
What's coming?
I said the merge is coming, you know.
Oh, the dimensional merge is on its way, yeah.
That's why it's been a terrible year.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I guess I had a good year in some respects, but mostly it's been terrible. Like, this is, like, the year that I, like, mainly focused on my transition, so that's been kind of fucking great. But everything else sucks so much ass.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of good happened. Like, personally, a lot of good happened this year.
Mm-hmm.
But this year fucking sucked, and I'm just tired of talking about it, to be honest.
Yeah. And you know what?
No, don't do it.
What?
Oh, I thought you were going to do something else. What's up? What about January?
When January comes, it's just going to be 2020 part two, baby.
Yeah, that's all it's going to
be. Part one. It'll be 2021. It'll be
no. It's gonna be. It's gonna just be December again, or like maybe. Well, yeah. It's honestly just gonna be another March because that's all that we've been living through.
It'll be an A 2020, and then the little
2020 A. Yeah.
No, it'll. I think by June we'll be good. But I was also saying in March, we'll be good by September.
Yeah, and I said no fucking way.
I was supposed to go to Japan. I'm supposed to fucking go to Japan. Guys, have you been following Pokemon?
I was hearing some stuff about that.
No, not really.
Dude, Pokemon's going through a fucking boom.
Really?
Dude, yeah. The cards? Okay, so I work with this kid who's like super into the card game. And we'll talk about cards all night. He told me he bought... 2 shiny cards, not holographic, like the Pokemon are shiny. And when they do that, it's like super special edition for like $900 a card.
He bought them?
This was 3 years ago.
Oh.
Espeon and Umbreon shiny, $900 a card.
All right, well, that makes sense because they're both really dope. And then they're shiny forms.
PSA graded, 9 for $900.
Damn.
There were $3,000 a piece right now.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, a lot of, from what I've been seeing, like, a lot of Twitch streamers have been, like, buying a bunch of them just open on stream.
Yeah. We were talking about it the other day, and it was, base set 1, base set 2. Some guy recently bought, not recently, he bought a Charizard first edition, shadowless, PSA 10 Charizard from the base set. Like, the first one.
What was it, like $100,000?
He paid $700 for it in 2007, and he didn't think anything of it. He goes, I just want this card. I want to relive my childhood a little bit. It's the card I never had. I want this card. $700. Recently sold at an auction for $380,000.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. So, like, I went through my cards. And I was like,
I never know. Yeah.
I think I have my holographic ones in like a case somewhere, but like the other ones, I think I threw them out years and years ago because it's just like, oh,
so
Pokemon cards.
It's the holographics are going to get you the most money, mm-hmm. of course. But then it depends on the grade and if they were played. And then on top of that, some of like I saw a base set or a second Squirtle or something. That was like going for like $300 Squirtle, like PSA 8, like a graded 8. Maybe I'll get my favorite Pokemon because my favorite Pokemon, it's not like Charizard or anything. My favorites are like Alakazam, Dragonite.
And I knew that Dragonite was in your top.
Yeah.
Dragonite, Nightknight. Like, Dragonite doesn't show up till Fossil, I don't think. But, like, I was like, oh, I'll get these cards and I'll have them and I'll get them graded. Kind of what I want to do, which I think is a total baller move, is, did you ever see the Jesus pieces? It's a necklace. Let me see if I can find a picture. A Jesus piece necklace. It's, I'll put this picture in chat, but hold on a second.
What are you talking about? Just, like, like a religious jewelry?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like a chain.
Yeah, of course.
But it's like Jesus's face.
Oh, no. Usually I just see like a cross.
Yeah, hold on. I'll put a picture of it on in thing. What I want to do, and I think this is just such a baller move.
That's fully iced.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a lot of money.
What I want to do is I want to get a PSA graded card and turn it into a necklace like that.
Like a medallion?
Yeah, like have it like a... that's a little Chris Chaney now that I think about it. But like, yeah. I want to have it because I think that's such like a baller move would be to like have PSA graded Pokemon cards like as a chain and like just walking around like iced
like,
out chain
in carbonite.
Like, no, not even just like in the plastic. But I would like to get like a team. Like I would like to get a team of like the first. I mean, not the first, but like the first artwork of the card, just because I'm a fucking moron. But, yeah, Pokemon's having a weird thing right now.
Yeah, there was a streamer I watched that was like, he got in trouble for gambling on stream, like doing like the live poker things. And he's like, this is just gambling for kids.
Yeah, it's and all then RNG.
He did a stream of actually getting the cards, ripping them, or setting them on fire.
Do you know about Chonkaching? That he doesn't have an addiction? Who was it?
Soda Poppin.
Oh.
Like, he's watching two Charizards in lube, and then I know the one other streamer, Mizkiff, like, stole one and, like, wiped it off and then, like, left with it. And he's like, we're gonna go to his house and get it back. And he made him rip it on stream, too.
Jesus Christ. Pay off a fucking house.
Jesus.
Yeah, I looked up the boxes that are on eBay right now. 10K, 12K.
Yeah.
So the highest I saw was 70,000 for a box of cards.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Booster box. Yeah, it's fucking crazy right now. It's really fucking crazy. Do you guys want to talk about anything else? I feel like I was just trying to fill time. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, do you know what else is crazy?
Kyle, wait, I want to talk to Kyle quick.
That Geno's not a Smash character now?
I don't want to talk about it.
He'll never be in the game. It makes no sense for him to be there.
He's a Mii. He's a Mii fighter. Or not Mii fighter. Like, he's a Mii costume.
He'll never be, like, in the game.
I'm just happy that Sora was in costume.
Oh, we didn't even talk about Sephiroth.
Yeah.
I'm so hyped. I'm very excited.
It just shows how tone-deaf Nintendo is.
They weren't Sega from not Sega. Supposedly, Square Enix wouldn't allow, or there was a long thing of like Square not letting them use characters. From my understanding of watching people, but like, so that's what was like. Everybody was so shocked to see him there because of Square.
Right? Like, Cloud was like revolutionary. Yeah. Like, no one thought Cloud was ever going to be in it.
But something with Square
was in it. Yeah. I mean, I love a good anime sword fighter.
Yeah, thank God there's more in Smash. If Smash is lacking anything, it's anime sword fighters. Thank God we have another one.
I'm just happy it's not Fortnite character.
Yeah,
that
me too.
Was trending all over Twitter that night.
I think that makes more sense than Sephiroth.
Nah.
I just
Fortnite got Kratos and Master Chief.
Because if you think about it, like a lot of the represented franchises have a villain.
Sonic, yeah,
which I love, except for Sonic.
I think Sonic should have a villain represented.
Who knows? Shadow might be in the next one. You never know.
Nintendo putting in Sephiroth makes zero fucking sense to me. They said they wanted icons from games, right? And
yeah.
I'm not saying Sephiroth isn't an icon. All I'm saying is, if you wanted to add icons from games, and you want to add new people, like they put Minecraft Steve in there. Then
Microsoft property.
Why are you putting in Sephiroth when you could have added how many other? They added Min Min.
Min Min's fun as fuck to play as.
I didn't say Min Min was or was not fun. Who the fuck is playing ARMS?
I mean, Nintendo does have to stroke their own ego once in a while.
Which is why they got Minecraft in there.
Put Minecraft. Put Steve in. That makes sense. Put Master Chief in it. That makes a lot of sense. Put in fucking Tony Hawk. Dude, Shrek. I'd even take Shrek at this point. Like,
not a game character.
He's not a game character, but he is iconic. Like,
Just put in Sakurai, just a 3D scan of Sakurai.
Let me play a Sakurai.
And you can just, like, delete characters.
I just think...
Final Smash, you just get deleted.
I just think them putting in Sephiroth shows that Nintendo has no understanding of what their fan base wants. Because Nintendo knows their fan base is going to eat up whatever they give them. Did you hear what happened with Etika?
That's fucked up, yeah.
Someone was buying Joy-Cons and customizing them, and then the money he was making, he was donating to a mental health foundation, and Nintendo shut them down. He was paying for these. The guy paid for these Joy-Cons. Shut them down.
Yeah, they sent him a cease and desist. Any money off it.
He wasn't making a fucking dime.
He was donating.
But Kyle, he bought the controllers.
Don't matter. The whole thing with the Smash thing too. Somebody had online. There was online. I forgot what it was. It was like online Smash.
Oh, it was better netcode for Melee. Yeah, something like that,
and they shut that completely down, or like a tournament or whatever, and they shut that completely down.
You know how much the prize pool was for that tournament?
What? This was Big House, wasn't it?
No, it was fucking $15.
Huh?
Whoever won that tournament, if I heard it correctly, got $15. If I bought a PlayStation 5 and customized the sides and donated the money to a charity, if Sony came to me and said, like, and I was doing this as, like, not a business, but doing this as, like, something to raise money for a charity, and Sony came to me and they're like, hey, cease and desist, I'd be like, go fuck yourself. I'm not making money on this. I'm getting my money back for the PlayStation, but I've raised $200 for... They were sending it to the same foundation that Etika could have used to counsel him before he killed himself.
Yeah. It's really sad.
My favorite Nintendo practice, you're not allowed to use emulators. You're not allowed. You want to emulate a game from 20 years ago? Not allowed. And then they go, hey, we're coming out with some games. They're emulations of our games, but on a cartridge, and you only have until March of next year to buy it. So go ahead and pick it up. They're so tone deaf. They're so fucking tone deaf. And these adult man children that continue to buy the consoles just continue to reinforce it. Nintendo has said multiple times how they want to do a false scarcity. Remember with the Wii? Remember how you couldn't find a fucking Wii for 2 years? Just false scarcity out the ass. Why? Because, and they'll tell you. Yeah, this is what we're doing. False scarcity. The store wants 25, we're sending them 6. Figure it out. Like, these are awful business practices. And, like, fucking lambs to slaughter, we keep going back. Pokemon has been the same for fucking 15 years. The last good one was Black and White 2. It's a hill I'm willing to die on.
Do I know a hill that I'm willing to die on?
Tell me.
It's Shane Ivers. He's the hill I'm willing to die on because he made our intro music and it's called Feather Duster. If you want to get it, you can get it at www.silvermansounds.com/freemusic/feather-duster. Vince?
Yes.
Tell us about what we do.
In the description below, there's going to be a link to my social, all of social, Kyle's social, the show's social media. Go ahead and give that a click on a link. Follow us, follow the show. There's going to be a link to our Discord there. We are filming this using the power of Discord. We're streaming to each other so we can see each other. And let me tell you, every day I get to see Kyle's beautiful glowing face is a day that I can go to bed happy.
Oh boy.
That being said, there's some people that we're going to have to thank for a couple different reasons in a minute. One of them being the Discord. But join, someone's always talking. While this was going on, people were having a conversation. I think about frogs. I didn't really check in. If you like the show, you want to support the show, make sure that you follow us. You subscribe on YouTube. We're 2 or 4 or 6 subs away from 300. And I would love to hit 300 before 2021.
That'd be pretty cool.
That would be.
So share with your friends.
Please. Make sure you like it. Leave a comment. Put the playlist on of all the episodes and fall asleep to it. Even if you mute it, just so you have some light in your room, it helps us immensely with the algorithm. And I don't think I'm breaking terms of service by saying that. And if I am, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Susan. Link to the Redbubble so you can buy a shirt, a clock, block, duvet, stickers, a bunch of other shit, and a Patreon where it is not mandatory for you to throw us a couple bucks, but if you'd like to throw us a couple bucks to see the show get a little bit bigger, a little bit better, a little bit harder, faster, stronger, we highly, highly appreciate it. Olive, who do we have to thank?
We have people to thank. First, I want to thank Noah.
Thanks, Noah.
Next up is Gage twice.
Thank you, Gage, once for the Patreon and another time for the Discord. Because of you, I can see Kyle. I can see Papa. Hey, Papa.
I hate this. Look at Kyle. I love seeing him.
Thank you.
Next up is Jordan with a Y.
Thank you, Jordan with a Y.
Then we have Danny.
Thank you, Danny.
Marcus.
Thank you, Marcus.
And Bones Jones.
Thank you, Bones Jones.
Thank you so much for supporting us, guys. And remember, if you are struggling because the world is burning, that you don't have to keep giving us money on Patreon, even though we really appreciate it. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. I think that's everything.
Yeah. Kyle, do you have anything to say?
Goddamn.
All right. Gang shit, homies. Be safe.
See ya.
See you later.
Be safe during the holidays, people.
Bye, Kyle.
See you later, boy. Say bye, Kyle.
I said bye, Kyle. I said it. I already said it.
Bye, Kyle.
All right, bye. Atomic Radio Hour Podcast. A Ghoulman Entertainment Production.